If you'd open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Last week we started Hebrews 11 and we really didn't get out of the first couple of verses, but that's okay. We're going to get further this morning. At the end of Hebrews 10, look at verse 39. Look at what he says. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. What does a genuine faith do according to that verse? Preserves the soul. You want to preserve your soul? What does it take? Faith. And that's why he starts in chapter 11, verse 1, and I made the comment to you last week. It's a terrible chapter break because he's still talking about the same thing. Faith is what will preserve your soul. Now, faith, 11:1, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, that's not a definition of faith. He's describing how faith works. And the first thing he lets us know, now faith, you want to preserve your soul? Now faith is the assurance. You remember that word assurance, what it means? Remember we discussed it last week? It's a certainty. Confidence of the outcome. Faith is the assurance. That word is hypostasis. Hypo meaning under, stasis is a foundation. So knowing that, faith is a foundation. It's the foundation that on which hope sits. So here you have hope, and what's hope again? Hope. Is it a wish? It's a desire plus expectation that God will do exactly what God says he will do. And that hope is what rests on faith. If a person has no faith, what will they not have? No hope. They don't expect anything. So when we get into situations like James 1, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. What are we supposed to do in trials? He doesn't say the trial is joyful, but what's our attitude toward it? Count it, consider it as joy, knowing what God is doing, that he's taking that trial and he's perfecting your faith. So can trials be a good thing? Now, what if you don't think that anything's happening from God? Yeah, you're sure not gonna have the right attitude in it. You know, it's gonna be a poor me. You know, you don't understand what I'm going through. And here, faith preserves your soul. Faith is this foundation on which hope sits. And then he says here the second part of it, the conviction of things not seen. Conviction. You're convicted of what? You don't have to see it, Jerry says. You don't have to see it, but you are convinced that God will do what he says he's going to do. It's a trusting conviction. I trust God. I trust God that going through this situation or doing these certain things, that he's going to do what he says he's going to do because he is where my hope is fixed. This is how a saving faith operates. This is what saving faith is all about. So I'm going to turn over right quick, one book over to James 2. Let's add one little more element in here. James chapter 2. Someone read out loud verse 17.
Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself.
Even so, faith. That's this kind of faith here in Hebrews 11. Even so, faith, if it has no works, our version uses the term works. Give you a little bit better word than works we translate into English. Obedience. Faith, if it does not obey, cannot save you. That's a dead faith. And so he's describing the same thing in James 2 that he's describing here. Faith without obedience is dead, and a saving faith is demonstrated how? Obedience. Yeah, you're responding to what God wants you to respond to. Instead of, you know, like we were using the illustration of James 1 there about when you go through these various trials. Oh, we're always talking about, oh, poor me. I've got this. I've got that. I can't handle this. I can't handle that. That you don't understand. How would faith respond to that? There you go. That's a good point, Chuck. Thank you. You know, I just recently talked to an individual and they were going through some difficulties and I began to show them some things. Here's what God wants you to do in the difficulties and it's going to work for your good. And you know what their reply was? I sure hope so. See, their vision of hope was wrong. I sure hope so. It's a wish. It's not a conviction. It's not founded on faith. It's just, well, I just hope God will do what he says, you know, kind of like a shot in the dark. Now, faith, if you want to preserve your soul, faith has to have this foundation, is a foundation to hope, and you have to trustingly be convinced that God will do what God says he's going to do. Let's continue on. Look at verse 2. Of Hebrews 11. For by it, faith, the men of old gained approval. What did faith do for the men of old, people of old? Gained approval. What does it mean to gain approval? What would be approval? I beg your pardon? Accepted. There you go. Guess what God approves of? A true saving faith. Not wishful thinking. Not, I hope it works out. A conviction, a trusting conviction that you know it's going to work out for your betterment. And God gave approval. Well, look at some of this approval. Continue on. Look at verse 4. Let's go down to verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, though he has obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Here's one person of old, and he's been dead for thousands of years, and guess what? He still speaks. God gave approval to Abel. So what did Abel do?
Yeah,
He offered a better sacrifice. Sacrifices were what to God? Worship to God. A sacrifice was worship to God. You know what a saving faith does? It worships God. And in that worship, it offers to God what God approves, what God wants. See, that's a huge thing right there. And here's Abel, been dead for years. His faith is still speaking. And God had it put on record that Abel was approved by his faith. Cain wasn't. Cain was disapproved, but Abel offered to God the sacrifice God wanted. Let's keep moving in this. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that he is being taken up. He was pleasing to God. Now, when you get back to Genesis 5, there's only a few verses, 22 through 24, I believe it is. That's all there is about Enoch. And what do you learn about Enoch? He walked with God. And when you go back and read those verses, he says it twice. What would it mean to walk with God? He was in step. What kind of God do we have? He's a righteous God. He's a just God. And here's Enoch. He couldn't see God, but guess what he did? He had a conviction, a trusting conviction, that this is who God is, and I have my hope placed on God. I've got this desire, this faith, and I trusted God. What did God do? Took him up. He didn't see death because he found God's approval. Well, there's the power of a saving faith, and that's how saving faith operates. And here's Enoch. You know, Enoch couldn't see. He had the unseen, but he was convicted that this unseen God was worthy to walk with. And God took him up. This is how this saving faith works. This is how it goes. Let's keep moving down through here. Look at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Without faith, what does he say? What does impossible mean? It ain't gonna happen. You know what? If there is not this saving faith, this trusting conviction, this foundation of hope that you desire and you expect, if you don't have that kind of faith, guess what? It's impossible to please God. Abel couldn't have pleased God in worship. Enoch couldn't please God by walking hand in hand with the attributes of God. And so for you and I, what do we need to learn? Do you need to be working on this kind of faith in your life? Real quick, someone turn over to Romans chapter 10. And let's see if we can expand it from here. Romans chapter 10, read out loud for us, verse 17. Okay. Faith comes. How are you going to develop this kind of faith? How does it come? Hearing the word of Christ. Now, think about what that means. A lot of people hear, but they don't hear. Have you known that to happen? You know, we study in class, or maybe we hear in a lesson, and then known people who go right out and do right opposite of what you just talked about, what you just shared from God's word. Guess what happens? What's happening to that person? They didn't hear it. Well, guess what can't come if you're not hearing? You got to pay attention to what is he saying to us? What's he saying to me? What's he saying to you? Faith comes by hearing. You've got to take in for fact the word of Christ, the things that was taught, and accept it. Not question it, but accept it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You know, you've got to pay attention. Questions or comments? That's a good point, Chuck. I appreciate that. And if you notice here in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. And there's two elements. There's two trusting elements involved. Number one, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. What does that mean? Okay. You've got to believe that he is. He's present. Yes. Even though you and I, with our visible eyes, what can we not see? You can't see God. When you pray and asking God for help, what do you see? You know why people don't pray much? They don't believe things are going to change or get better. And that's why when you see in situations, people don't pray because they don't believe that he is. And the second element that he is, as Chuck was saying, he's a rewarder. And sometimes that rewarding may be give you the ability to take the next step, get you to throw off things that are hindering you in your walk. That can be the rewards. You know, that you gain from this faith that you're trying to develop. And those two elements are a must when you come to God. This is the saving faith. This is the only kind of faith that'll save you. It's not, and we talked a little bit about it last week, it's not intellectual faith. Too many people have intellect. They believe God is. And they believe Jesus Christ died for their sins. Nothing else. Very little prayer, very little faith demonstrated toward God finds very little approval from God. So when things get tough, what happens? Well, we kind of crumble because we have no assurance of anything. And so we need to see this is what faith does. This is what God is looking for. You remember the lady that had the 12-year hemorrhage? She made her way through all the people to do what? If I could just touch the hem of his garment, what did she know? She knew something would come from Jesus, and there's all these people pressing around him, and from her, when she touches him, what did Jesus know?
He felt something.
Jesus knew something went forth from him to her, and he called her up. And so, point being, It was by faith that she worked through all of those people. Nothing was going to stop her from doing it. Faith, by faith, and found the approval of God in the midst of all of that. Well, let's put this to the test. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about the things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now he brings up one of the Old Testament figures explaining faith. They found God's approval. Noah did. Tell me what you see unique about Noah in this.
He had no idea why.
He didn't have any idea why. You're right there. And so here's Noah. By faith, what did he do? Yes. Can you imagine Noah? You know what Noah did not do that we find in Scripture? Why? How? He didn't question God. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned. See, he had this reverence for God. He had a reverence for God, a holy expectation from God. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about the things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. What does faith do for you there?
Salvation.
He prepared for salvation. What are we doing today? Are we preparing? Are we just living life till something happens and then, oh, I wasn't expecting that. See, here's faith. Here's Noah. God warned Noah. And you know what God warned Noah was coming? There was destruction in the form of what? It's going to be a flood. And you know what had never happened up on the earth till that time?
Rain.
It had never rained. How do you explain that to someone? I'm bringing a flood. And they never even knew what rain was. And here's Noah, but what did Noah do? What did this convicting faith do for Noah? I prepared because God's going to destroy this world, this earth, with the earth. And here's Noah, I'm preparing for the salvation of my family. Now here's a question for us. Do we have the kind of faith today that we are preparing our lives for salvation? Is that what we're preparing for? Is that what you're looking for? The salvation of your soul? And that's what he's bringing up all of these illustrations for. They gained approval by God, and the approval to Noah was what? The approval for Noah, you trusted me. I told you I'm going to bring a flood. You don't know what that is. You trusted me. And 120 years. What if God had started off and said, Noah, I've got a job for you. It's going to take you 120 years to finish it. You know, I mean, can you imagine God starting there with Noah? But God said, I need you to build an ark. What's an ark? Well, let's go cut a half of the forest of gopher wood first. You know, and so whatever skills he had or whatever, how God described it to him, Noah trusted that God is able to do what God said he would do, and I want to be found in salvation when this time hits. We're in the same, for a better word, for a pun, we're in the same boat. You know, you and I, you know what we ought to be doing every single day? Preparing for salvation. What should we be doing with our children and our families? Preparing them. That's where things seem to lack today when you look at the way children are and how they're handled and what's going on. Prepare. What do you think those 120 years Noah and his three sons talked about? Absolutely. That's a good point. Faith comes by hearing. You got to listen. You got to be convicted about things of God. Pick up that word and start letting those words mean something to you from God. And let it start developing you. Let it start changing you. Let it start building your faith. And here's Noah out of reverence for God. See, is that what we have for God? Do we have a reverence for God? He did it out of reverence. This holy expectation that he had. Let's keep moving. Unless someone else has a comment you want to make. Yes, go ahead. Talking about Cain. Yeah, Cain did not offer to God an acceptable sacrifice. It wasn't by faith. God, yeah, that Chuck made a good point. There's no reverence there for God. Abel offered to God what God wanted. He gave to God the acceptable. Cain did not. Cain gave apparently what he thought would be acceptable. Yes, same thing for us. And that was in worship. And you and I need to make sure that when we come to worship, we need to be in the right frame of mind, you know, when we're approaching our God. So that, and that's a good point. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Well, let's move to the next. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. God promised Abraham what? He was given what? What does he say? Let's look at the words. An inheritance. So God called him to come to the place for an inheritance, and you know what God never told him? Where that inheritance would be. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And I've taught this before, but I want to use it to illustrate it now. Where Abraham, when he left Ur of Chaldees, his inheritance was west. And you know where Abraham lit out for? He went north. He knew where he's going. And you know what God ended up doing? As Abraham went north and he began to encounter things, God took each one and he turned it. And Abraham would leave that place and he started turning and heading west. See, he just simply had to take God at his word to get to where God wanted him to be. He didn't know where he was going. But the thing is, he walked with God, and he trusted God can get me to where I need to be. And that's what he did. So not knowing where he is going, look at verse 9. By faith, he, Abraham, lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. What else did he do? When Abraham got to where God wanted him to be for the inheritance, what did he do? How does he describe it? He lived as an alien. What's an alien? A foreigner? A non-resident. You know what Abraham didn't do? He didn't go and set up house. Oh, I imagine his wife and children would love to have a house, but they dwelled in tents till they got to where they wanted to be. And sometimes, I'll just use for an illustration for us, sometimes what do people always want? Bigger, better, more. Yes, that's a good one. People always want that. And you know what they're never content with? What they've been provided with. It's always something bigger. It's always something better. Here's Abraham. He lived as this outsider. He wasn't putting roots down where he was going. There's a reason for that, because the next verse, verse 10, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. What did Abraham have his sight set on? This unseen God, this not knowing where he was going, this unseen journey. But what was he looking for? Him? Yeah. The unseen. Yes, he was looking for this unseen because he was wanting the place that God was building, that God gave him for the inheritance. Question, what are we looking for? Someone turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 20 and read it out loud for us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Pick up those words that he just read. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await for who? For Jesus, for Christ Jesus? Yes. Maybe I need to ask this. What are you eagerly awaiting for? You know, are you eagerly awaiting for this next step? It's coming, you know. It's coming. And here is Abraham, not knowing where he's going, but he had one thing in mind. I want whatever God has prepared. And that's where I set my sights. You and I, guess what we need to be preparing for? You are our salvation. You don't want to get to the end and find out you have not worked on your faith at all. It takes a little effort. It takes some part on our part to develop faith. And faith, we've got to pay attention to the Word of God, to the words of Jesus. We've got to pay attention to that so God can start putting within our being, helping us find this saving faith. That's a good point, yeah. And you know, in our waiting, guess what people collect? Stuff, yes, stuff, more stuff, more stuff. And we got all this stuff, and we got stuff in storage, and we got stuff everywhere. And you know what's not going? Stuff. You know, think about that. Our faith is what?
Heart
faith.
God sees our heart. He knows if we have faith or not through our heart.
Right.
So, as long as our heart's in a high place,
Absolutely. And I'll say this, because I'm not putting down, I know people lose things that can be precious to them, but sometimes we get too concerned about our stuff. Oh, all my pictures, I lost them all. Stuff burns. That was from my mom and dad or my grandma and grandpa, and I lost it. When things on earth become precious, your faith can be in danger. And so here's Abraham. He was looking for a better place in our citizenship. We need to be eagerly waiting for Jesus, our high priest and our intercessory and our Savior. You know, I hope you're planning to be with him. And it's not going to be just by chance that you get there. You're going to get there by faith. And that's the only thing that's going to get you to the end. So you offer to God what's pleasing and what he wants. All right, let's continue. Let's move on here, because we gotta get this chapter. We're not going to get it today, but we got to get this chapter done. Look at verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who promised. What about Sarah? She gives us a good picture of what saving faith is. She laughed. It was hard for her to accept after childbearing years that she was going to have a child. But what does he say here in the verse that she had to consider? She considered God would be faithful to what God said. Even though she laughed, she showed her inability, but she came back to what? The promise and the ability of God. That even after the childbearing years, she was able to conceive. So let's keep moving. Verse 12. Therefore there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead, at that as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is on the seashore. This old, and what happened, what ended up happening? Your descendants, you've been barren all these first 90 years of your life. And now what happens because of God? Descendants as much as the stars. God is capable. And when God makes a promise, he will do as he says. Now, I'll share this with you real quick. Faith is not blind. Some people describe faith as blind. Faith is go ahead and do it and let God work it out. No, faith is always based on one thing. Conviction in what? That God will do what God says he'll do. So you have to have a direction. This is the promise of God. And now whatever else goes with those promises of God, let God work that out. You and I need a convicting faith. This is the kind of faith that we're reading about. It's not impossible to get it. It's not beyond our reach. It's just, do you desire it? That's the real question. Do you really desire it? If you've got hope, you do, and you'll expect God to do as he says, and then you trustingly let God work it out. That's what he promised. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting you brought that up. Romans chapter 4, as he begins to describe Abraham there, it says that when God made a promise, Abraham, in hope, had hope. As he looked at the physical, what did the hope look like? Impossible. But as he considered God's faithfulness, what did he expect? God's going to do what he says he's going to do. It wasn't just blind. God promised, and so in hope against hope, Abraham believed God. And you know what God counted it as? He was a righteous man. Look back real quick at chapter 10. Look at verse 38. He says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." How does a righteous one of God live? By faith. And we're talking all this about faith. Okay.